Welcome to another episode of How to Sell Your Coaching with your host, the Coach's Coach, Wayne Sutton. We invite you to listen, enjoy, and implement these proven methods in your business today.
Hey, I'm Wayne Sutton here, howtosellyourcoaching.com, and another great episode. I'm being a little presumptuous there, but I know it's going to be a great episode. I've had the pleasure of speaking with our guest before the show, reading his book, and just discussing life, discussing coaching, and I'm excited to have Tom Kieran on with us today. His book, Be Something Wonderful, When Suddenly You Want to Be More. Tom, I'm excited to have you. I love the title. And I'm really excited about the title of the next book. And we'll probably get to that before this call's over. But thanks for jumping on board with us.
Hey, Wayne, thanks. I'm just delighted to be here. I love to talk about goodness, love, and be something wonderful and all that stuff. So, that's ready great. To go. And
Good. Well, I tell you, I'm reading your book. And I'm reading, and it's just, I love this quote on the front page of your website. It says, be something wonderful is your aha moment. It's that flash of insight, spark of curiosity, jolt of energy. And I always tell people that I had a minister friend a number of years ago, and he said, Wayne, he was elderly. He's still elderly. But he said, Wayne, I said it like he's passed, but he's still alive. But he said, Wayne.
Well, that's good. I mean, what's your alternative, right?
That's right. The alternative, yeah. And he said, Wayne, I continue, your life's going to continue the path it's in until you have that. It will continue until you have that until moment. I said, what's an until moment?
Yeah.
He said, it's somebody you meet. It's something that happened. It's an aha. It's something that just everything that you believe begins to shift. Some of it's totally changed, some of it is strengthened, but it's something in your life that changes. For some people, it's a near-death experience. For some people, it's a religious experience. For some people, it's, you know, just they wake up, and I believe their divine calling's crying out. And that's what I love. That's why I love working with coaches and healers and helping people change lives.
Yeah.
That's why I'm loving your book. How did this book come together? You know, Be Something Wonderful. How did that culminate?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because I come from sort of the opposite of all that. You know, I was in business for years. I was banging it out. You know, I was I studied accounting in college, and then I got my CPA, and then my MBA, and then I grinded through business. I was with a startup. I was with, you know, in the 1980s, I was working in a public accounting firm. I often tell this story with KPMG, Pete Marek, you know, when you're working tons of hours, and I got called to the partner's office, and, you know, they liked my work and whatever. You know, he's drinking whiskey. You know, it's noontime. And he goes, Tom, it's about working harder, work hard, grinding it out. Everything is about, it was a total opposite. Imagine back then, me even talking about spirituality or getting in touch with your divinity or that God inside of it, that God force, not a conversation, right? So basically, Be Something Wonderful is it finally was my aha moment was finally when I just sort of burst and woke up to say, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, I mean, you know, I was in South America at the time, all right. I've been in business for a number of years, but I was helping and starting. I was one of the starting founders with the founders down there of a work study travel institute. So teaching languages, English, Spanish, all that. So I learned Spanish, and I was down there for a while. But it was a late night, and I was in my office, above my office, where I would do teacher training in Cusco, Peru, believe it or not, a very spiritual place. And I was sort of scribbling, oh, you know, I really need to do something more. You know, I go, no, I need to be something more. And this is how Be Something Wonderful happened. Yeah. You know, I need to be that, you know, it's sort of, Wayne, it's the idea of being that ideal that you always were reaching for. You know, we're all reaching for it, right?
Yeah.
And God is a path, but we still got to find that inside ourselves, right? And so that's how Be Something Wonderful. That's how it hatched.
Yeah.
And I started the organization underneath it. And then I started the book as sort of like, okay, what do I really want to say about this?
That's good. Yeah. Great, Tom. I also often ask people, in fact, those who, you know, one of my coaches that are listening to this are probably going, Wayne, that's what you said in the course, because we have a life coach certification course, and I often mention, what would your higher self do in this moment?
Yes.
Maybe not your highest self. Now, we always want to think the best Wayne would do this, but we're not there yet because we all grow from one process to another, one level of transformation to another. So what would my higher self do? And it can be as simple as, do I serve this person? Do I put the shopping cart back at the store? Do I leave it out here in this empty spot? What would the higher self do?
It's a great question. Yeah. You know, it was funny. I was talking to someone this morning, and we were talking something about like this, and I was saying it really gets back to the golden rule. I go, they don't call it the golden rule for nothing. I mean, Christ said it. God said it. It is. You know, do unto others as you do unto others. You know, treat your neighbor like you treat yourself. All of that is based on the golden rule. So, yeah, would you want that cart out there to send your car? Right? So I think it's a great question. I think it's a great starting point, right?
It is a great starting point. And so, Tom, and here's the thing, too. When people are asking that question, understand you may think – you may make a mistake. If your higher self was to do something, or let's leave the shopping cart out of it, but anything, my higher self would do this, it could be absolutely wrong. But if your heart of intent was in the right place, I believe there's correction that'll come in the right manner. So,
yes.
It
could be pointed to the, you might have to take a detour to get to that mm-hmm. greater good. And that might just be your higher self, your inner being. Your God inside saying, okay, we're going to have to do this
yeah.
to get you to this, because I know that I can't get you there directly. It's interesting, isn't it? And
a lot
of people don't get that. Like, why am I going through this? Well, you know, it gets back to the, you know, trust and faith and that idea that you've got to know that there's a higher good, there's a better way that's coming. I like that. It's such a brilliant process.
And I love that it is a process. And I also tell people, if you recognize life is a process, it's not a crisis. That doesn't mean things don't happen. Things will happen, but if it's a crisis, then if your whole life is a crisis, then you're not living a process. Process. Frustration, Tom, I did a video on this the other day for my group of coaches. Frustration is a byproduct of progress, because you're never going to grow. You mentioned that's how the book hatched. Well, something hatches out of an egg. There's a process, but there's also frustration, I'm sure. And the little chicken's trying to kick through the through the shell. So it's in that frustration. But I want to go back to your book where you said, and I'm just going to jump back to the beginning. When suddenly you want to be more, do you believe it's an instantaneous with some people, or do you believe it's instantaneous in certain areas? How do you see that?
When I say that, because in my life I've often had these such moments, but none of them are out of the blue. So I got to distinguish between sudden and being sort of out of the blue, because it all builds up, right? And when I say suddenly you want to be more, it's just like it was building and building and building, and then suddenly I got to do it. I've got to make this change. And, you know, I was down there for 12 years, and a resident of Peru. I moved 45 days later after that aha moment. So, not quite accurate, but something like that. And so when I say suddenly, it's sort of like suddenly you just can't live that illusion anymore. Right, not being in touch with that inner, that higher self, that higher concept of yourself, that divinity, that God inside, you can't stand the disconnection anymore. And so that's what I meant by that. Yeah, it's on my website, because that's how I felt. It's just like suddenly I just wanted to be more, right?
I love it.
And And so, I mean, for some people, it could be that they never thought about it before, but everybody does, right? That's why we're out being in and out a lot, right? We're very action oriented, right? We were taught that, and I was brought up like that, and really the action is alignment with that greater self, and that's in the code, of course, later in the book. But unless you get aligned first, any amount of action is going to be puny compared to being aligned with your divinity, right? Imagine the leverage you get. You know this leverage. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The leverage you get when you're aligned up with that divinity, when you are working through that higher self. Wow.
Okay.
It's powerful.
Tom, so this is amazing. It is amazing. So just earlier, I was actually coaching someone, and this was one of those moments that I didn't have this mapped out in my coaching, but it came out in these words, and I think this will really line up a lot of what you're saying here. I said, what you have to do is you come every day, we wake up with our plans, our ideas, our goals, our all of these actions, and I'm great with that. But what if we instead first went back to the divinity, and I actually said the grand architect? If I'm going to build my home, you know, I'm actually recording this from a home today. If I was going to build this home, number one, it would be in bad shape because I'm not a builder. But if I was going to build this home, I could either go get the sheetrock and the boards and the nails and the carpet and the tile, and I could try, or I could go to an architect and go, can you show me how to make this safe, build it quickly, and build it beautifully? And the architect can lay out. I still got to be healed.
The safe foundation. I love that. The architect gives you the safe. You know, the Bible talks about that a lot, about built on a rock, right? This is where you could, if you interpret that rock, you know, we could, you know, that's why sometimes a lot of people don't understand the way the ancients wrote it, is like some of the expressions, when we say on the rocks, that means it's something totally different what the Bible was getting at.
Yeah.
Built on a rock, built on that foundation where the wind can't. So I love that great architect analogy. That's perfect.
Yeah, and I think
that's beautiful.
When we look at that also as the grand architect, and then what you said earlier, there's still a process. Nobody goes to an architect and says, thank you, and then they get the keys to their new home. They still have to be built. So, and something else you mentioned in your book, Tom, I'd love your thoughts on, because if you follow me at all, you'll hear me talk very positive about this and then very negative about this at the same time. And I think the reason is I'm not a split personality, but the reason is I think it's because of the different concepts hidden within it. And I have some very strong I believe in the law of attraction, even though I've spoken against it, because I believe the law of attraction is real, but I believe there's some things that, again, we're called to do. We're lining ourselves up to that divinity. But I know you talk about the law of attraction. Where does that fit into a reality of it, should I say?
Well, here's the reality. The law of attraction, you know, it's become – a lot of people have been banging and fooling with that for years, right? Probably the biggest law of attraction teacher is Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks. You know, she channels through this energy. But you know, she says the same thing, which is not bad, but it's much broader than what even – she talks about with Abraham, right? It is, the law of attraction is, we are responsible, what we imagine with our divinity, it's divine imagination, I guess I want to call it. And how we feel and what we think about and what we imagine, we attract in our life. That's why we create, it gets back to we're God, we're creators. We were born part of God, right? So we're all creators.
Right.
We all have that. Jesus said, right, you can do what I can do and more.
And more.
And
that's the right, yeah.
You're right. And he wasn't good. So that's where the law of attraction comes in. We are creators. Now, if you're talking more about where action fits in, well, action, unless you're lined up, right, unless you're working through that divine imagination, like Christ did, right, when he was so lined up, he was so pure in his love and his thinking that he could walk on water, right? And potentially we could, you know, if we were, you know, but we're in that sort of physical reality. But if you're more pointing towards people that say, well, then I can sit on my couch and not do anything, that's not what the law of attraction really is getting
but
at.
Do
right?
you, I agree, it's, but do you not yeah. do you not think that's how it was portrayed, maybe through The Secret or a lot of
yes.
law of attraction, even coaches? Or I know
yes.
that I've worked with some of these coaches, and I said, I can't
totally
help you market your business until you bring truth. So please
continue. It's all about, yeah, what I would call it, and I talk about intuition in the book. I talk about divine imagination. But I would say it's that inspired action, right? The what the law of attraction is saying, if you just go out and don't line up with that energy and go bang it out, it's going to be a lot of work. You may get there, right? A lot of people get accomplished things from banging it out. But it's puny compared to what you can do. When you're lined up with that energy, right?
Yeah.
And so that's law of attraction talks about it. You've got to sort of feel that end result, right? It's all feeling and thinking. So that's where it comes in. And then once you feel it, you're going to be inspired in the right direction. Divinity will lead you to the right people, to the right actions. So that's where I get what you're saying. There's a lot been out there that, and The Secret didn't do a great job of explaining it. It didn't really even explain it, right? What The Secret did was sort of make mainstream that idea of that quantum energy or that divine energy
sure.
that we're all made
and
of.
It did a great job of that. I agree. Opened the door.
But that's all. That's all.
Yeah.
And I think you got to go further than that. And I think one of the teachers that I really like is Neville Goddard. This is a guy
yep.
back in the 50s and 60s, right? And he really had it with this idea of Christ inside us. This is really my inspiration for my next book. But action does, you know, you're going to want to act, right? You know when you're lined up, right? You know this yourself. When you're lined up and you're in the flow, that means you're connected. You're jumping out of your skin. Right.
Yeah.
You're
in your zone.
You could write a book in one evening if you get in the download and you stay connecting. So yes, I agree with you. I think it's been interpreted in different ways.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get disappointed because they try it and they go, well, it doesn't work for me. But just saying it doesn't work for you, it's not going to work for you, right? This is the whole idea of your the magic's inside you, right? That's what Christ was saying. That's what all the ancients were saying. The Bible is a perfect description of that, right? Always get pointing back to the energies within. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So your book. So let's look at your book from a love again. What I'm reading is great. One of the things that you have in the book is a mention of the code. Now, obviously, we don't want to give the whole book away on a podcast. We want people to be able to grab your book.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm curious, what can you share with us about, you know, the code or as you have it in there?
Yeah, the Dare to Be It code is each letter of the Dare to Be It code represents a part of the code, right? And so
okay.
I'll just share the first one because that's how it's built on. Just like I loved your point about the great architect and the foundation, because every code or every process, as you know, needs a good foundation, a good segue, a point to start. And so I start with Dare to Face Your Fear. Now, I know a lot of teachers out there, Tony, right? I mean, there's so many of these teachers out there, right, that have been around, and they're all profoundly successful and amazing. And so I don't want to sound cliche when I say dare to face the fear, but fear, you know, I talk about it, but it is the way I look at it is it's there. But when you're in love, there's no room for fear, right? You got to pick. You can't be both. You can't be fearful and connected to love totally at the same time. So when you're in fear, you're not loving. You're not feeling that invincible love. So I I talk about fear, but then I point to love, so without giving away too much. And that's the first point, because we all, there really are only two emotions, right? I mean, there's fear and there's love, and that's it, right? Yeah. And love is the, and I would even say maybe love is the only emotion. Fear is just lack of it, right? God is all love, and that's all we are. And if you peeled it back, right, from our physical existence, right, you as Wayne, me as Tom, and these physical identities, if you peel back this illusion, we're just pure divine light and love, right? And so fear is simply turning away from that love or not being connected to it. You know?
Yeah.
And so so the code goes on, and then each letter represents that. I pull one of the teachers in that are out there that are best suited to that idea in the code, and I refer to some of their stuff. Oprah Winfrey's in there, Wayne Dyer I talk about, Tony Robbins. I talk about pretty much all of these people.
Yeah, Wayne Dyer, I always tell people Wayne Dyer's always been one of my favorites. He had such wisdom. His books were one of the, you know, I've got the old books, because they literally take a highlighter and just mark and mark and mark and mark.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins. And then Tony, a lot of people misunderstand the knowledge Tony has, but they just look at him as a motivational speaker, which he says I'm not. They do not look, and they see him do a work with someone. And when you truly understand neuro-linguistic programming, or you truly understand temperament therapy, you really see what he's doing. And it's just because there's so many nuances that he helps people break through, people miss how powerful he really is.
I think that's amazing. Yeah, they see him as a lot of people sort of try to marginalize what he does by saying, oh, he's just all rah, rah, rah. I go, oh, no. He is so connected to that divinity. It's incredible, right? You wouldn't be as incredible as him unless you knew how to connect. And I like it because he brings out the action part of it, right? Because there is action involved in all this.
Right? Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I was at one of his events in Dallas and one in Florida. The one in Dallas was the one that moved me the most, because he really took people through a gratitude experience. And I grew up in the church. I know love. I know gratitude. But the way he brought that in was just amazing. And I've always just had a respect for what he does. In that,
yep.
I want to share something else in your book, and I'm trying to find the page now. I think it's on page. It's A Brief History of Tom. Forgive me. Okay, no, but you mentioned in there when you were born.
Yep.
At the same time, here it is. In 1963, JFK was president. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, and I love that. I have a dream, and now, obviously, that is resonating again with all the racial. Misalignment, that's the word I'll use right now.
It's interesting, because I wrote this a few years ago, and it is interesting how that, it's incredible what's going on right now.
It is. But I have a dream, and I heard another, I'm not taking credit for this, but I was listening to a podcast one day, and when I heard this, I pulled the car over, scrounging for pen and paper to write this down so I'd never lose it. And he said, it wasn't that Martin Luther King had a dream. The dream had him. The dream had him. And if you see it, oh, I got a dream. Well, if you just have a dream, so what? Many people have dreams. But when the dream has you, and what that means, and my understanding is, it was a divine purpose. His purpose was to release his message and to start a movement and to bring equality. And just as Jesus, I've come. You know, why was Jesus here? You know, he had it owned him. He had to surrender to it, but it owned him.
Yeah.
And I think if we have our own divine dreams within us to be a better person, to be a higher person, we can choose to surrender, or as Jesus said, I could have called a legion of angels. He could have walked away from his death, but he chose to surrender. We have to choose to surrender to our dream. Martin Luther King could have made his speech and walked away.
It was the ultimate way to show what he was represented, right? To rise to die and then rise from death, showing that this is, we are God, right? We don't die. We're eternal beings. And so, yeah, you're right. It could have walked away.
Yeah.
It's,
well,
for any great change, there's going to be Neville Goddard calls it stoning with facts. People will stone you with the facts of life.
Yeah.
And people want to believe in the fit, that this is the only reality when we are part of and surrounded by and connected to this divinity. And and most of us just kind of bang it out every day, not even thinking about it, right? And wondering why things aren't going our way.
That's great. Yeah, and I'll even speak to my coaches and just the listeners to this podcast. A lot of our people that are listening to this are students of mine. They're going through the coaching, and we talk about everything from marketing and sales. But the question is, why are you doing it in the first place? Because if you don't have that purpose and that dream and that desire to go to a higher level, when all hell breaks loose, you'll quit. You'll give up. You'll sacrifice to the ease, the path of least resistance, instead of saying, no, I've got to push forward. I have a divine calling here. And I've had one of the biggest things I hear, Tom, a lot of people say, Wayne, I don't know what my destiny is. I don't know what my calling is. And I think I'm going to say, go back to the architect. Go back to that divine within you. And say, what is mine? Because you cannot build a building. You cannot build a city if you do not know what you're building. You have to know that, or at least be open to being led that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, a lot of people struggle with that. And I think because even when I grew up, everything was about get a job. What are you going to do? What school are you going to go to? What are you going to study? Everything was about before getting. Remember, we're here to reconnect with that divinity. That's really our purpose. And then whatever we do on top of that is icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine doing anything else now, right? But
no.
Other than spreading,
Let's talk for our next few minutes, and I want to be respectful of everyone's time. Would tell us the name or whatever, you can tell us about your second book that's coming out.
Yeah, so the second book is called Billionaire Vibration, Waking Up Your Christ Mind. So the idea now, the Billionaire Vibration, once you start reading the book, you get an idea that we're not talking necessarily really about money, although clearly, if you have a vibration that high, you will attract a lot of things. But the idea is that we are, Christ is inside all of us, right? And God stood off, and we're all part of Christ. But we make sure we get our workouts in, right? And lift up, but we don't exercise that divinity, And again, exercising it is simply silencing yourself and getting connected with it. And that's what this next book is going to be about. It's exciting because it sort of builds on everything that, we're here to connect with that, right? Christ became us so we could become him. And that's what this book is going to be about. I think it's going to appeal to a wide range of people because I think, we struggle. It was never meant to be struggle, right? We introduced that. Strife and struggle and negativity is all man-made, right? At this level, at this vibration that we're at. But, Christ is about love and flow and ease. And once you start operating from that big love, from that amazing vibration, then you're doing things, but things are just flowing, and that's really going to be the idea. It's still in the works, but I'm very excited about it. I've probably never been more excited about something because I feel that it's going to help me, and first and foremost, and then it's going to help a lot of other people. So,
yeah. So I'll share with you, I'm going to open up something I don't normally open up in outside of ministry, but I do from time to time, and I'll open it up on this podcast. Because I think people need to know the divinity within you is real, and the divinity within you is calling out. So, and you've got to be open to that. Many people never take time to say, what would my higher self look like? What is my purpose? So I love books like yours that give us that nudge to move forward. I was, there was one Sunday evening, not many years ago, that I took an afternoon nap. Now, nothing unusual, Sunday afternoon, let's take a nap. And Sunday afternoon nap, but I heard the audible voice. And there was no imagery, there was no colors, there was nothing but an audible voice. Dead asleep, the audible voice said, tell my people what they can do. The world is telling them what they cannot. Very solid, very masculine, love very that. Booming
wow.
voice. And then I immediately woke up. It wasn't a groggy, it was bam, awakened. And I'm so thankful because I knew then that's my calling. It doesn't mean it's Tom's or anybody else's, but I think it is universal. But if it's for me, tell my people what they can do. The world, and what does that mean by the world? It means a world of embedded beliefs and self-limiting beliefs. And as you said, what are you going to be when you grow up? And we are to change lives. And if you're a conduit of love, you will truly serve others in a way that changes their life. And that's just where we have to be. And we all fall short, and that's okay. We recognize it, and we move forward again.
Powerful. I love that you got that divine. That's your higher self talking to you and saying, hey. And, you know, wow, more than ever, I think, you know, we're going to start hitting a tipping point here. And I think you can see it, that 2020 has been a rugged wake-up call for all of us to not just, not just talk about it, but, you know, walk the talk, be the talk, right? Be that higher self, because each one of us, we're so amazingly powerful. if people only knew that, you know, when you, goodness has its own power, you know. That's why you see that negative, no matter how much negativity is thrown out there, how much hate is out there, love is so much stronger that when you even get a little of that out there, it wins. Love always wins.
Yes.
And so people need to know that. Yeah.
There's a great book. Yes. There's a great book. Actually, the book is not called that, but her website, Love Always Wins, Tiffany Snow. And she's great. Me and you will have a discussion off the podcast because some of the things I read in your book kind of relate back to her, and I'd be happy to share that with you. But, so you also are a coach. I know you have a book, and that's great. But I also know you coach people. How can people find out about, hey, I want to hear more, Tom. What's our next step to get in touch with you?
Well, the best way to get in touch with me, you can go to besomethingwonderful.com or tomkaren.com either. But they both need to be something wonderful. And send me a note. There's a contact form there. The office phone is there. You can also reach me directly at tom.karen@besomethingwonderful.com. So I'll put that out there. And I'm always happy to talk to anybody. I get inquiries from people that have read my book on Amazon, and you'll find that I'm pretty accessible. And even if you just want to chat about divine energy, I'm for it.
Love it.
Anytime. And I'm also all over social media. I'm on Instagram at Tom Karen, Twitter at Tom Karen, Facebook at Tom Karen LLC. So it's pretty easy to find me. And even coming up on Google pretty high these days. So,
We're going to get
pick up my book, Be Something Wonderful, When Suddenly You Want to Be More.
Pick it up, guys. I tell you this, go jump over to Amazon, pick up the book. I'm reading it now. And I normally like to finish a book before I interview somebody, but I said, let's do this interview. This is great. And I will finish the book. and again, besomethingwonderful.com. And guys, if you're listening to this podcast, there's somebody that needs to hear it. Maybe they need to hear, and I don't know what it is, something Tom shared, something I shared. They need to hear something you didn't need to hear. Hit the share button. People say, Wayne, how can I help you? Outside of hiring you as my coach. I'm like, you can hit the share button on this podcast. Leave us a great review on iTunes or Podbean or wherever you're listening to, YouTube. Hit the share button, though, because somebody needs to hear it. Just like somebody shared Tom's information, and I connected, and I got his book, and now we're connecting. We're all just connecting and serving one another. So, Tom, any last thoughts before we end the interview?
Yeah, I love that. Let's leave it at that. We're all one, right? We're all in this together. We're all connected by that divinity. So whatever you do for another, you're doing to yourself, right?
Very true.
Love is the answer. It's the power.
It is. Yep. So, yep. Hey, thanks again, Tom. Guys, here's what I need you to do also. Jump over to howtosellyourcoaching.com. Our articles, our videos, our podcasts. If you're a coach, you're a consultant, you're a public speaker, you're a course creator, you have a message you need to get out, and you're not doing it to the fullest, or you're not fully getting the income that you need, then jump over to howtosellyourcoaching.com. If you're like, Wayne, I need to do it fast, then jump over to Done For You Coaching. Done For You Coaching is literally taking all of the marketing, the tech, the email, the copywriting, the ads, the videos, and we do it for you. So you get your message out to the people quicker, change lives, and truly become wealthy helping others. So that's doneforyoucoaching.com. I promise you at least one aha moment in our conversation that can help you. And as always, guys, thanks for jumping on board. Another episode of howtosellyourcoaching.com. Make it a great day.
Thanks again for listening, and be sure to pick up your free resources to help build your coaching or consulting practice at howtosellyourcoaching.com.